نحمد الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. ثم أما بعد, to proceed, again we are going over this book. It is Muhammad, كأنك تراه, Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, as if you can see him, by Dr. Ayd al-Qarni, published by the International Islamic Publishing House, and it talks about the various noble qualities of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and we're up to his remembrance of Allah. Last time we talked about his mercy. Last time we talked about his mercy. And this time we're talking about his remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it says here that it's related that in a single gathering, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Allah for forgiveness 70 times. In fact, you know, there are so many hadiths that talk about the amount of remembrance the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. He says, Dr. Ayd al-Qarni, he says that's certainly indicative of the degree to which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remembered Allah. The degree to which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remembered Allah. The entire life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam involved the remembrance of Allah, inviting others to Islam, delivering speeches, giving advice, performing acts of worship, fighting on the battlefield, issuing legal rulings. Everything the Prophet ﷺ did involved the remembrance of Allah. That is good to say, to begin with, because it really puts it in perspective, because the remembrance of Allah is not only about the utterance of Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Sometimes the people make this utterance so frequently with complete heedlessness that it doesn't affect them in any way. And remembrance of Allah is to be cognizant of Him, to be aware of Him, to be conscious of Him all the time, in all conditions, in all circumstances, in, you know, good times and bad times, and hardships and times of ease, and to remember Him, you know, all the time. So to remember Him before you talk, before you act, before you even abstain from doing anything, you're always thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what is pleasing to Him. That is the meaning of Allah's remembrance, dhikrullah. Dhikrullah is not only to utter the words of dhikr or the certain supplications, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, allahu akbar, la hawla la quwwata illa billah. Although those utterances are virtuous and noble, and there is a great reward in making such utterances, however, it is not only about this. And then when you utter those words, you also need to be cognizant of their meanings and to get yourself used to contemplating and reflecting, contemplating the meanings, but not only in a theoretical sense, but reflecting also. Because when you say Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater, and you can contemplate that Allah is greater, and you may be convinced, completely convinced that Allah is greater, but are you reflecting on this? Are you actually living up to this meaning? Because if Allah is greater, why do you defy His commands? Why do you fall short of living up to His expectation of you, that you abandon the prayer because you're busy working? Or if Allah is greater, why is it that you don't consider Him in your arguments with others, in your interactions with others? Why are you not more watchful, etc., etc.? So it is not only contemplating, but it is also reflecting and living by those convictions. Because each one of those words reflects a conviction, right? When you say subhanAllah, subhanAllah means what? And they usually translate it as glory. Exalted is actually a little better than glorified is he. Exalted is he, subhanAllah, exalted is Allah. Because you're exalting Allah, you're deeming Allah above any deficiency. And that is the more accurate meaning of the word subhanAllah. SubhanAllah is deeming Allah above any form of deficiency. So glory is somewhat different, but it is frequently translated as glory be to Allah, or glorified is he, or something like this. But it's exalted, deemed above any deficiency. So that is a conviction, you know. And when you say subhanAllah, try to think of it, you know, because it is important, because it is awesome. That is okay, but, you know, try to think of what you are saying. You're saying subhanAllah, which means exalted is he, which means I am elevating and deeming him above any deficiency. And when you say Allahu Akbar, that means Allah is greater. And when you say, and why does it say Allah is greater and it doesn't say Allah is the greatest? Well, the greatest is more absolute. When you say, had it been the greatest, then it would have been Allahu Akbar. Well, Allahu Akbar means Allah is greater. It is basically...
Yeah,
it keeps it open so that whenever you so anything comes across your mind, Allah is greater than this. Allah, even your own perception of Him, Allah is greater than your perception of Him. Not only Allah is greater than, you know, the deities that they ascribe as His partners, or Allah is greater than prophets or this or that, but even Allah is greater than any of your perceptions of Him. When you think of Allah, you have to always remind yourself that Allah is greater than your own thinking of His greatness, than your own awareness of His greatness. He is greater than this. So it is left open-ended. Allah is greater, greater. And it doesn't say greater than, it just says Allah is greater. And that's it. And it's open-ended so that anything that comes across your mind, Allah is greater than that. And subhanAllah, alhamdulillah is praise be to Allah. And when you say alhamdulillah, also you need to be aware of it. And you need to be really thankful. Because if you say subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, 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 and then 3 minutes later or a few minutes later, you're like, you know, like you're oofing at the hard life or the, you know, the noisy kids or the, you know, work conditions or your poverty or sickness, your this, your that. So if you're resentful, then you're not thankful. Well, thankful and resentful are, you know, are contrary to each other. So if you really say alhamdulillah, 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 and you're saying it so many times, that's it's like an emphatic repetition to underscore it. Yeah, this is my state of being. It is not what I say. It's my state of being. Ana hamid lillah. I am thankful. Not just saying alhamdulillah, but I am thankful. So every time you do this, you say you feel this gratitude, thankfulness, and you remind yourself of reasons to be thankful. Because that's how your thankfulness or gratitude will grow. you remind yourself of reasons to be thankful. Because keep in mind, you are not entitled to anything. You are not entitled to your sight. Otherwise, you are not better than people who've lost their sight. You are not entitled to your hearing. You are not entitled to your arms. You are not entitled to your legs. You are not entitled to your money. You are not entitled to your kids. You are not entitled to your spouse. You are not entitled to your honor. You are not entitled to your reputation. You are not entitled to anything. So you can lose any son or old of that because you're not entitled. So if you have it, then be thankful that you have it. So continue to be thankful that you still have your sight, you still have your hearing, you still have your power, etc. So when you remember, when you say Alhamdulillah, be thankful. Know that this is a state of being, it's not just an utterance, and try to grow it by reminding yourself of reasons to be more and more thankful and more grateful. And that will, you will truly have this feeling when you completely give in to the fact that you are not entitled to anything. So no matter what happens to you, you will be patient. And if good things happen to you, or if those things are left for you, you should be grateful. What happens is, we as human beings think that we're entitled. So you have your sight, you're never thankful, you're never grateful, you never feel grateful, even if you say, you know, Alhamdulillah, but you're not appreciating the greatness of this ni'mah. And then you lose it and you become ungrateful. No, He created you out of nothing. So He brought you to existence and He gave you sight and hearing. You are not entitled. So if you lose it, you're not entitled. And if He gives it to you and He keeps it for you, then you should be thankful. But we're looking at it from a different perspective, which is completely wrong. Anyway, so those utterances must be contemplated, must be reflected on, must be lived up to. You live up to the word Alhamdulillah. You live up to Allahu Akbar. You live up to Subhanallah. You live up to each and every of those utterances. When you say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, you live up to La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no might nor power except in Allah or with Allah. So you live up to this. You truly feel your weakness. You truly feel your dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is remembrance. The Prophet ﷺ certainly was the greatest of all who remembered Allah. Why? Because where does remembrance come from? Two main tributaries of remembrance. When do you remember someone? Why do you remember someone? It's love, yearning, longing, love. Love, yearning, longing for someone. You remember them. Yeah, like you remember your, hopefully you remember your mother back home, or if you have a mother back home or something. So that's yearning, longing. It is love. Okay. What's the other tributary? Fear. Fear and hope are both under the same category, which is need. You need Him to feel safe, and you need Him for His reward. So لا ملجأ ولا منجأ منك إلا إليك. There is no refuge. There is no refuge from you except in you, or except with you. Like I can't run from you except to you. So that is the feeling of complete need and dependence. So in this case, who is more deserving to be loved than Allah? And who loved Allah more than the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Who is deserving to be sought and to be called upon for our various needs than Allah? And who is more aware of this than the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? The state of poverty is faqr. It's a state of being. It's a station that people reach. Not poverty to not have money, but poverty to fear your need, to fear your weakness, to fear your dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That state of being, certainly the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the greatest of al-fuqara ila Allah, those who are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he manifested this to a great extent. So it is love and need that would make you remember someone, love and need. Now, this love, it's even, the very ranks of love themselves, they're about, they underscore this meaning, because the first ranking of love is al-alaqa, which is attachment, and then as-sababa, which is the love, and then al-ishq, which is ardent love, and then at-tatayyum, which is enthrallment, total enthrallment. The total enthrallment is when you are enslaved to the beloved, and that should be kept for Allah alone. So when you're enslaved to the beloved, and that combination of feelings is the deification, is worship, to be enslaved to the beloved. So to have the ultimate love and the ultimate submission, subjugation, showing of humiliation towards one being, that is worship. That is the essence of worship. So that love would make you in remembrance all the time. He said the rankings remind you, because attachment means that you're attached to someone. If the less, then you remember them because of that attachment. But then it gets a little bit stronger. It's called sababa. And sababa comes from sabba, which means poured, to pour water, sabba na. So it means that your heart goes out after them when they leave. Your heart goes out after them when they leave. That's remembrance. So can you imagine the highest of those rankings, which is the total enthrallment, that will make you in constant remembrance. That will make you in constant remembrance. Al-Junayd said that من علامة المحب لله دوام الذكر وما واظب أحد على ذكر الله إلا ازداد له حبا كما قال. That the sign of Allah's love is the constant remembrance. The sign on Allah's love, on one's love for Allah, is the constant remembrance. And the constant remembrance will only bring about more love. The remembrance will only bring about more love. So the need and the love, both, would make you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Like I said, it is not just the utterance of the word, but it is the feeling, and it is the reflection, and it is the implementation, and to live by it. And to live by it in all conditions, at all times, you know, good times and bad times, or times of hardship or hard times. If you look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Ibrahim died, for instance, Ibrahim his son died, and he can imagine that the death of a child, there is nothing more painful in terms of incorporeal pain than the death of a child. You know, you have the corporeal and you have the incorporeal. So the incorporeal is the body here, the physical pain. So in terms of incorporeal pain, there is nothing that is more painful than the death of a child. Not only that it was a child, it was an only a son. And not only that, he had it when he was much older. And the chances of having another one were much less. So that is the peak of pain, incorporeal pain or emotional pain. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, "In al-ayna tadma'u wa in al-qalb yahzan." ولا نقول إلا ما يرضى ربنا وما يرضي ربنا والله إنا بك يا إبراهيم لمحزنون. So this hadith was reported by Bukhari Muslim from Anas that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when Ibrahim was dying, in the process of dying, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had him in his lap and he said, the eyes shed tears and the heart is grieved, but we say not except what is pleasing to our Lord, and most certainly, or by Allah, O Ibrahim, we are saddened. we're saddened by your death. So this is the true meaning of remembrance. It is to remember here. It is not to sit down after the salah and say, subhanAllah, 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 subhanAllah. And that is fine. But if this was really true remembrance, it would have made you capable of remembering then, when you're afflicted by an affliction of this enormity. But the person who says subhanAllah, 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 with complete heedlessness, will not be able to remember when the time, when the true test of remembrance comes. The same applies to times of ease and times of happiness or victory, etc. In the beginning of the Battle of Uhud, the kuffar were defeated. You know that. The beginning of the Battle of Uhud, the kuffar were defeated. So it's reported in Imam Ahmad in his Muslim reports that when this happened, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahaba, "Straighten up your lines behind me." straighten up your lines behind me so that I show gratefulness to my Lord. Stawu hatta uthniya ala Rabbi. Stawu hatta uthniya ala Rabbi. So, that is when you need to remember also. And sometimes the people have a harder time remembering in good times times of celebration and victory and happiness and so on than in the times of hardship. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet, جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. فَصَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. So when Allah's victory and when Allah's victory comes and the conquest of Mecca takes place or happens, and you see people embrace the religion of Allah or enter into the religion of Allah in large crowds, then سَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ, glorify the praises of your Lord, or exalt the praises of your Lord, وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ, and seek His forgiveness. إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا, He is oft forgiving or repenting. It is, you know, this is, keep in mind that this is His work, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His fact and the victory was, you know, his 21 years of hard work come into fruition. It is his work. In one way, but it is the right time to deny yourself the fadl of this, the bounty, and attribute it only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a reminder that it is all in the hands of Allah. Because had the Prophet done all of this work, and Allah did not mean for it to be sort of fulfilled by this victory, give da'wah for 950 years, not 21. And at the end, there were only a few people that came onto board with him, on board the ship with him. And the Prophet ﷺ himself said, وَأَتِ النَّبِيَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَيْسَ مَعَهُ أَحَدٌ. Some of the Prophets on the day of judgment will come with no one with them, without anyone with them, without any followers. So these are prophets who spent their life giving da'wah and no one responded. So it is all Allah's bounty and Allah's favor. So that is the true meaning of remembrance. If your remembrance that you make, that you utter with your tongue, is contemplative, is true, is coming from the heart, then you will be ready to remember at all times. Remembrance will be there at all times. And remembrance will keep you from evil at all times. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَرَّأَ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ. That is Yusuf and the wife of Raviz. So it says, وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ, which means she approached him, sexually approached him, وَهَمَّ بِهَا, and he would have approached them, approached her, had he not seen the sign from his Lord, Burhan Rabbi, a sign from his Lord. So that Burhan Rabbi, you know, the interpreters have, commentators have much to say about Burhan Rabbi, but it is obvious and you don't need to particularly believe that it was a particular sign. It is the piety in your heart It is the remembrance. It is the remember Allah at this point. And that remembrance came to him so vivid as if he seen it. So that's why the expression Ra'a, he saw the proof from his Lord. That proof from his Lord could be basically be his remembrance. He remembered his Lord. So it was a proof that prevented him, that kept him from this enormous temptation. And that was an enormous temptation, because that was a wealthy woman who is extremely beautiful, extremely wealthy, and he was under her control, and he was a young man, and he was far away from his people, and so on and so forth, and no one knows about him. No one knows who he is. No one knows about him. So it is extreme temptation. But that remembrance, because he was a true zakir, when he remembered Allah before, he truly remembered it. It came in to help him, to save him from this, trial. So it will come to you at times of trial, it will come to you at times of celebration, it will come to you at times of hardship, if your remembrance is true remembrance. So the Prophet ﷺ would encourage Muslims to remember their Lord as much. One of the hadith here, so here is the second paragraph, and that's page 67, by saying to them, the Mufridun, Mufradun or Mufridun, you probably want to correct it. Mufridun or Mufradun and Mufarridun is less eloquent. It is Mufridun or Mufradun. He has it Mufarradun. It is Mufridun. So Mufridun means those who single out. The Mufridun have preceded. The Mufridun have won the race, the Prophet said. And the Sahaba asked, who are Al-Mufridun? Mufrid comes from Fard. Fard means what? One, single, a single one, single individual, Fard. So Mufrid means the one who singles out. So he said, Al-Mufridun have preceded or have won the race. And then the Sadaq al-Mufridun, and then the Sahaba asked him, who are al-Mufridun? And then the Prophet ﷺ said, al-Zakirun Allah kathira wa al-Zakirat. Those men and women remember Allah much. Those men and women remember Allah much. So, what does al-Mufridun mean here? It means the ones whose remembrance of Allah made them have no one else in this life but him. So they lived a life with him alone. That does not mean that you're going to be negligent or reckless or indifferent to people. But it means that in terms of watching, you're not watching the people, you're watching him. In terms of true bond, your strongest bond will be with him. For that bond, you forsake any other bond. And for no bond, will you forsake this bond. That is the meaning of Al-Mufridun. He lived a life of solitude with him. Azza wa Jal, exalted is he. The Prophet ﷺ also said, this is مثل الذي يذكر الله والذي لا يذكر الله كمثل الحي والميت. The example of the person who remembers his Lord and the person who does not remember him is that of the living and the dead. The one who does not remember his Lord is dead, and the one who remembers him is alive. The Prophet ﷺ also said to a man, let your tongue remain moist with the remembrance of Allah. لا يزال لسانك رطبا بذكر الله. In fact, this man came to the Prophet ﷺ and said to him, إن شرائع الإسلام قد كثرت علي. The rituals of Islam have become too many for me. So tell me of something that I would adhere to. So the Prophet ﷺ said to him, لا يزال لسانك رطبا من ذكر الله. Let your tongue remain moist with the remembrance of Allah. Because this is the me, the goal, objective. Even your salah, the objective of salah is to remember Allah, to be more aware of Him, cognizant of Him, conscious of Him, more in His presence, to feel His presence. So the remembrance of Allah is the objective of all the others. So if you have to hold on to one thing, hold on to this. That does not mean that you're exempt from the obligations and so on, but in terms of the supererogatory acts, good deeds and so on, if you have to hold on to one thing, hold on to this. And that is the meaning of the other hadith that is reported by, that is from Abu Darda, reported by Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi from Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. And which he said, the Prophet ﷺ said, أَلَا أُنْبِئُكُمْ بِخَيْرِ أَعْمَالِكُمْ وَأَزْكَاهَا عِنْدَ مَلِيكِكُمْ وَأَرْفَعِهَا فِي دَرَجَاتِكُمْ وَخَيْرٌ لَكُمْ مِنْ إِنْفَاقِ الذَّهَبِ وَالْوَرِقِ وَخَيْرٌ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْ تَلْقَوْا عَدُوَّكُمْ فَيَضْرِبُوا رِقَابَكُمْ وَتَضْرِبُوا رِقَابَهُمْ. قَالُوا وَمَا ذَكَرَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ قَالَ ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ. أَلَا أُنْبِئُكُمْ, should I not tell you, بِخَيْرِ أَعْمَالِكُمْ, of the best of your deeds, وَأَزْكَاهَا عِنْدَ مَلِيكِكُمْ, and the most purified in the sight of your Lord, وَأَرْفَعِهَا فِي دَرَجَاتِكُمْ, and the most elevating in your ranks or rankings, وَخَيْرٌ لَكُمْ مِنْ إِنْفَاقِ الذَّهَبِ وَالْوَرِقِ, and better for you than spending gold and silver in charity. وَخَيْرٌ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْ تَلْقَوْا عَدُوَّكُمْ, and better for you than to confront your enemy. فَتَضْرِبُوا رِقَابَهُمْ وَأَضْرِبُوا رِقَابَكُمْ, and you smite at the necks of each other, or you kill each other. And then they said, what is it, O Messenger of Allah? He said, ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ, the remembrance of Allah. It's a sound hadith reported by Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi from Abi Darda. So, the one thing that we also should, that we should glean from this hadith is, could this be, subhanAllah, 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 that is better than all of this? It would be impossible, right? Could just be better than all of this? It is impossible. It is the true remembrance of Allah, which subhanAllah is part of it. That subhanAllah that's coming out of your heart, and not just your tongue. Because that's subhanAllah that's coming out of your heart, that Allah Akbar that's coming out of your heart, will fix your life. Will keep you on track for your entire life. Now, having said all that, it will continue to talk about, you know, the tasbih and tahmid and tahreer and takbir and so on. We have gone over that. Then the last paragraph here under this topic, he says, before teaching others about the importance of remembering Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam first set a good example himself, remembering Allah at all times and on all occasions. And when he would remember Allah, he would do so with a fearful, attentive, and observant heart, a heart that was filled with the emotions of fear, love, and hope, a heart that ardently desired achieving the good pleasure of Allah. And the remembrance of Allah is an issue that Muslims do not disagree over. But how do you remember Allah? Is what people could disagree over sometimes. And the best thing that you want to remember all the time is that the Prophet ﷺ was the best role model, in the best conditions, at all times, in all circumstances. The forms of remembrance that he uttered, that we received by being reported from him, are the most pleasing to Allah. Why would Allah grant you a form of remembrance that is better than what he granted the Prophet ﷺ? Would it make sense? Why would you need to make up any form of remembrance? Whether in its essence or its attributes, you know, time, location, number, etc. That is one thing. The other thing is, do you really think that the Prophet ﷺ fell short in remembrance, that you need to do more, so that you need to make up, you know, certain forms of remembrance? In fact, if you observe all of the remembrance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, try to do this for a week and see if you can continue. And the books are available, the you know, authentic Azkar of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the book of Al-Azkar by Imam Nawawi, for instance, Wabil al-Sayyid, Hasan al-Muslim, Hasan al-Muslim. And keep in mind that as long as you do not specify a number or location, you can increase. You can add more. You can say more. There is no problem. As long as it is not specified, as long as you don't tell the people. So the Prophet says, you know, he says subhanAllah alhamdulillah mi'ata marra 100 times in the morning, in the Azkar al-Sabah. Don't tell the people 150. Tell them 100, like he said. But what if someone said it 300 times? That's good. That's fine. But you don't preach it. You don't tell the people 300. Why not 400? Why not 350? So if someone tells you, why 100? The answer is, the Prophet said so. That's it. So it is twofold. One, don't think that you will be given anything that's better than what he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was given. was given. Number two, don't think that you will be able even to come close to what he did, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.